this morning, I want us to explore. I want us to explore using the analogy or metaphor of a game of sports. I think my back is about to die or so on. Don't worry too much about that team there with the two ends on it. Yes. Just forget about it. Don't think about that. Don't think about the team with the two ends. Forget about it. Don't think about it. We are busy with the game. So, we want to explore Christianity using the analogy of the metaphor of a game of sports. And I wanted to preach on this a year and a couple of days ago. And it turned out, it started out as just one sermon, and then it morphed into a series with four or five sermons in it. I said four or five because one I might not preach. And I wanted to start preaching this series on three occasions for you. Because it's the metaphor of sports, I thought it might be nice to preach this series so that it would conclude on Super Bowl Sunday last year, which is in the sports team. And then, well, no, what we started at that time. So then I thought, okay, I'll start it so that it will conclude with the final of the Stanley Cup. And then, as you know, I didn't start it. So that was a little bit. Then, just before Advent, I thought, okay, maybe I should do it before Advent. Once again, I didn't. So now it will not come to the same time as the Super Bowl, but who cares? God has been burdening me with this series quite a while, and the reason why I took it out is because there's some things in some of these sermons that we don't like to hear. One sermon particularly is actually geared towards spiritually mature people. We need to really understand it. Otherwise, we're going to take away from there the wrong message. But that is later on. So finally, I am starting it today. So we are going to look at the game. But from the start, we just need to take cognizance of one fact. In fact, it comes with a disclaimer. Even though this series is called The Game, it is not just The Game. Even though the metaphor is about a game, this is not a game. This is life, this is real, it is about life, it is about the very thing that determines our life outcome. Our journey with Jesus all the way until we meet God face to face one day. So it's actually not just a game, something to do that. So it comes with a disclaimer. So every time I speak about the game, just keep in mind the disclaimer is not just a game. Part one of the series is the rules are for the players. Now, I've got a question for you. What is the rules, the purpose of rules in any sport? Help me out. What's the purpose of rules in sports? It evens the playing field. What else? What's the use of rules in sports? It keeps people safe. It provides an agreement of understanding for the game. It sets the paradigm for that game. It gives structure to the sport, and it enables that particular sport to be played smoothly. And as Pam said, it ensures the safety of the participants. And the rules are for those people actively involved in that sport. The rules are for the players. And different sports have different rules. Like if you look at something like pickleball tennis or badminton tennis, even though those sports have got a racket and a ball, it's got way different rules. If you look at rugby and American football, even though both have got an oddly-shaped ball, it's completely different games with different rules. Different sports have different rules. keeping in mind our rules, let's turn to John chapter 14. We're going to take a scripture reading from verse 15 to 27. If you love me, Jesus speaking, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. If I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 21, whoever has my commands and keep them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. 24, anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. And this is not a deduction. It's not just an inference of the first statement of this five. That's one of the verses. Anyone who does not love me. So three times he says, the ones that love God are those that keep doing life his way. This is the people that will do as I teach. This is the people that will play this game of life by my rules. Only those who love me. Those that do not love me will not follow my rules. So if Jesus says, this will in any case not be, that the people who do not love me will not follow his rules, who are we to say that they have to? If Jesus says, in any case, people who don't love me won't follow my rules, who are we to say that people who do not love Jesus should follow his rules? And this idea that everybody has to do what God says probably stems from previous uses of God's law, from God's way of doing life. You see, God's law has been used in three different ways throughout history. And none of them are wrong for their intended uses. It changed somewhat over time. God's law can and has been used in three ways. The first one as a bridle or horse. Secondly, as a mirror. And thirdly, as a flashlight. Now, when you look at the use of the law as a bridle, it's called the civil use of the law. God's law was, throughout the Old Testament, used as a constraint to sin, keeping God's people away from doing bad things, keeping them holy and separate from all the other nations in the Old Testament. But it wasn't only in the Old Testament that God's law was used in this way. Society in medieval and reformational times had no qualms about seeing God's law as the basic framework for governing their society. So, as you know, most laws of countries have been modeled on the Ten Commandments. This is the sole use of the law. And this was more so before the separation between church and state. When there started to become a separation between church and government, this line, a line started forming where things started differing between the two laws, God's law and the law of man. So it was natural for people like Luther or Calvin to assume a place for the law in restraining from sin. So laws against theft and murder and drunkenness were not based on the will of people, but on the governing principles of biblical law, used after Old Testament times. The second use of the law is called the gospel use of the law, which is the mirror. And in this way, when the law is used in this way, the law is a mirror that shows us our sin, pointing us to Christ. Now, no one blames a mirror when you're ugly. I mean, it's not the mirror's fault. If I look in the mirror and I see this bald spot, it's not the mirror's fault. It is the mirror. Or maybe it's just me. I have it. It's there. So the mirror just reflects. If I had a bad hair day, if I look in the mirror just reflects what is in front of it. A mirror simply exists to reflect the true nature of the person looking into it. And in this sense, the second use of the law is like a mirror, which is what Paul is getting at in his letter to the Romans. He spent quite a chunk of his letter to the Romans on the law being used as a mirror in the gospel use of the law. The law confronts us. The law shows us our sins and exposes our faults. It tells us we need Jesus to bear our sins. And this is the fundamental message of the gospel, that we need Jesus. The message of the gospel is we've got sin, and we need Jesus to bear that sin so that we can be saved. So, when we use the law like this as saved people, we all strive to cover the shame of our sins, but the net result is not righteousness. It is rather hypocrisy. We end up relieved that our dirty clothes are not as filthy as our neighbors. When I look in the mirror, I'm just glad that my sin is not as bad as your sin. So before we commit our life to Jesus, the law is a mirror that shows our sin. It is not rules to follow. It is not a way to live. If you are not in some way connected or affiliated to following Jesus, then the law is just a mirror showing us about the sin in our lives. And when this happens, it happens because God is using it to show us. God is the active participant in this way of using the law. His Spirit does the mirroring. His Spirit does the conviction. His Spirit does the calling out. Because when God uses the law in this way to mirror our sinful life to us, it always comes with a call from His Spirit saying, now that you see yourself, come to me. I will take what you see on me, and I will do it. This is the gospel news of the Lord. Before you are committed to following Jesus. The third use is the Christian living use. The flashlight. The law becomes a flashlight used by Christians to know the path ahead, to know which way to go, to know what God likes and dislikes. And the law changes into this use once you start following Jesus, once you become a Christian. Once you put your trust in Jesus, the law moves from a mirror to a flashlight, or the use of the law moves from a mirror to a flashlight. And now, because I love Him, I try to do what He likes. And because I love Him, I try to stay clear of the things He dislikes. And this is what Paul is getting at when he says we are no longer under the law, but we can by no means disregard the law. Because it still has this great use for us, but the flashlight use. We still need it. It shows us how to live a life pleasing to God, to make God smile upon us. And now it becomes the rules showing us how to play this game called following Jesus with all my heart. Once again, with a disclaimer, it's not just a game. But the law now becomes the rules after that. So let's get back to the game, the sport, the metaphor. How does rules work? We cannot play one sport by following the rules of another sport. I mean, if I start playing soccer following rugby rules and run up to people and they are dribbling the ball, I run up to them, I just tackle the legs out of it underneath them, I'm going to get sent off. They will not see me play. If I start playing American football according to baseball rules and I walk off to a huddle and start swinging my bat, I will smash people's heads. They will get rid of me very quickly. They will not allow me to play the game. If I start curling according to tent and bowling rules, I will break some ankles with the tent and bowling ball with the people standing around. I just cannot do it. I cannot play hockey following rodeo rules. Skate as close to my opponent as close as possible to my opponent and jump on his back and try to stay on it for a second. I cannot do it. That rule doesn't work for that sport. You cannot play one sport by the rules of another sport. So if you want to play a specific game, you play by that game's rules. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus, if you want to play his game, then you follow his rules. Hockey rules, soccer rules, following Jesus' rules. Made by Jesus. And you know what? You don't need to make up the rules as you go. It doesn't work like that in any other sport or any other game. You don't need to change the rules as you go. Just because it's tough playing the game, just because it's tough succeeding in this game, you don't need to change the rules. The rules have been made. You said you wanted to play and you knew the rules. Then you play by that rule. When we signed up for this game, once again, it's a disclaimer, it's just a lot. We knew the rules. Jesus once told this parable of a builder starting a huge building project. And he said, you go and calculate the cost before you start building and see if it's worthwhile, or otherwise you might be considered a fool if you don't finish this. And Jesus also said following him would cost us. I mean, he said it could even cost us our very lives. But the game, it's worth it. But then, only by his rules. And we don't get to change the rules. Now, there's a flip side to this particular point. If people aren't playing with us, if people aren't playing our game, the game of following Jesus with all your heart, they don't have to follow our game rules. Because now the law isn't used by them or for them in the third way, as the flashlight. If you are playing a different game, then our rules doesn't really apply. Some may, but not all. We cannot go around telling people, hey, you aren't following our rules, if they are not playing our game. We cannot go telling people, you shouldn't do this, if they are not playing our game. If they are not following Jesus, we cannot tell them, you shouldn't be doing this, Jesus doesn't like this. If they are not playing the game called following Jesus with all your heart, the law for them isn't used as
the third way bit as the flashlight. God is doing his very best to use the law in the second way for them, to mirror their sin so that they can see it and realize that they need a Savior. But you cannot go around telling people, hey, you aren't following the rules if they're not maintaining them. Because not doing what Jesus wants them to do is not the problem. Them not doing what Jesus wants them to do is not the problem. They have a bigger problem. Not believing in Jesus is the bigger problem. I mean, you can do everything the Bible tells you to do. If you don't believe in Jesus, that is your problem. The problem is not following the same rules. The problem is not believing in Jesus. And that is what they have to overcome to get into the kingdom. But I think 2 years ago I preached a series on follow, believe, obey. About how Jesus worked with his disciples, how he called people. He called them to follow him. He just said, just come with me. Just come and be exposed to me. Just spend some time in my presence with me, around me. Just follow me. And that's how he called the 12 disciples. Come follow me. Spend some time with me. So that you can start believing in me. So that you will start loving me, and that you will realize that I am in fact the Son of God. While you spend some time with me, oh, but that's weird. Why can he do this? Oh, that's weird. Why did he heal that person? Oh, that's weird. Why did he say that? Because the Old Testament scriptures say that the Son of God would be doing this. Maybe this is Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah. And it changed into belief because they were exposed to Jesus. They started believing in him. That is the Son of God. After they believe that he is the Son of God, put their trust in him, only then we get to obey. Now they start doing what he wants them to, because they love him, because they believe him. The rule in what we do, or the what we do, and that part only comes with obey, after we started believing. And that means that we will never win over people telling them to keep our rules. We need to get them into our game first. That's another simple. We will not win people over for Jesus by telling them to keep our rules. And that is the approach that we have used in the church in reaching out to people. We go to people and tell them, this is what Jesus wants you to do. And then we think, next Sunday, they will be now in our church. Because we told them what to do. That approach doesn't work. You cannot tell people to keep the rules if they're not playing the game. We need to get them in the game first. Part of our game, this game of following Jesus with all your heart. Because the rules are for the players. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commands. If you love me, do what I say. Love me, follow my rules. Whoever has my commands and keep them is the one who loves me. So we try to win at the game while following the rules. We try to be the best followers of Jesus we can. We try to love Jesus as much as we can. And if we want to do that, we have to follow his rules. That's what Jesus said. He said, this is how you show me that you love me. By doing what I told you, by doing what I taught you. Because the rules are for the players. These rules are for his players. His game, these rules. And if we are serious about reaching out to people, our biggest effort should be to get them in the game. Not to get them following the rules when they're not even playing the game.
take the very often made as the Lord Jesus. We need to expose people to Jesus. We need to get that introduction, that follow part going, so that people can be exposed to Jesus. Not get them to follow the rules. Following the rules will not get them into relationship with Jesus. The rules are for the players. So there's two sides to this point. The rules are for the players, and you don't get to change the rules as you play. Jesus is game, you lose. But also, if you're not playing a game, then you cannot force the rules on you. These rules are for these players. These games. Journey of following Jesus with all our hearts. But we do it according to the ways that He wants us to do. Let's close our eyes and pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that